So as you've been reporting all morning, health care reform finally passed, but it was a late-night vote Sunday night. It went all weekend long. I don't know if you were following Todd Zwillick's Twitter feed from Washington all weekend long. It was kind of like having an unwelcome house guest who annoys you every couple of minutes, but it was a spectacular look at all of the drama that took place in Washington.
It really was, absolutely. So, I fell asleep before the denouement.
But still, it was pretty exciting, and there wasn't a single Republican in the end who voted for the legislation. The president himself was proud and jubilant in victory.
Tonight's vote is not a victory for any one party. It's a victory for them. It's a victory for the American people. And it's a victory for common sense.
It will be up to the American people to determine if that is the case. Listen to this. White House Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer, speaking months and months ago in an early health care strategy meeting at the White House, talked about what this vote really was going to mean.
We were sitting in the Oval Office as we were sort of having a debate around health care at one point. The president said, it's about health care, but it's not really about health care. It's also about proving whether we can still solve big problems in this country. And this was going to be the test case for that.
It's Dan Pfeiffer speaking in an upcoming frontline documentary on the health care reform debate. Can the Congress still solve big problems in this country? It's a question we want to put directly to Jim Frogue, who's vice president at the Center for Health Transformation, the health policy group that is Newt Gingrich's sort of look at health care reform. Jim Frogue, good morning.
Good morning.
If the president said that this was a test to see if the Congress can actually solve significant problems, how do you think they did here?
Well, I think it remains to be seen. I think the American people have been clear over and over and over again that they are opposed to this bill. The polling done just in the last couple of days, especially in competitive congressional districts, indicated that people were opposed by about 20%. In those key districts, including several in New York. And it's really the lesson of Virginia, New Jersey, and Scott Brown's win in Massachusetts just didn't get through. And I think come next November, we'll see what happens, but it's very possible Republicans pick up 60, 70 seats in the House and regain the Senate. I think they just ran right in the face of public opinion, and I'm not really sure it's going to solve any problems.
Is that a good way to measure the significance of this policy, however, by looking at the competitive congressional districts and waiting until November to see what the outcome is there?
Well, I think it is certainly one way to look at it and a worthwhile way to look at it. If something is passed so deeply opposed by the American people, the next group that comes in isn't likely to support it, is likely to repeal it, is likely to not fund it. And the fact it was done with no Republican support and even 34 Democrats voting against it is pretty indicative that it is a very, very partisan solution. And when you look at the burdens this puts on states, too, states are in their worst fiscal crises in decades, and the federal government just informed them that they have to include millions of more people on their Medicaid rolls, which Medicaid is already the most expensive item in most state budgets and the fastest growing. Texas, for example, may have to add as many as 2 million people to their Medicaid rolls, and it's not free.
Although, Jim Frogue, we should point out, it's different from state to state since the last horse trading in the whole negotiations leading up to the vote was to increase Medicaid for some states, maybe some reductions for others, but that really varies from state to state.
Well, it does. It's either bad or worse, depending on what state you're in.
But well, Oregon got an increase.
To cover more people.
Oregon got an increase.
Well, in federal subsidies, which that money doesn't grow on trees. I mean, to the extent that Chinese bankers want to keep giving us money so we can expand on affordable health programs, that's not something that can continue.
Well, Jim Frogue, how do you evaluate the polling that solidified in the hours leading up to the vote that actually the number of people who strongly support this measure actually was increasing just as quickly as the number of people who absolutely were opposed, and that the middle seemed to be shrinking, and that still, overwhelmingly, people want something done on health care reform, no matter how you poll?
Well, everybody wants something done. There's, to be sure, we have a whole think tank based on things that should be done and things that can be done and successes that are already out there in the marketplace that are improving health outcomes at lower cost. There's lots and lots of great examples, lots and lots of great hospital systems and health plans that really are working, but they're working outside of what just passed last night. And I think the damage that's going to be done for this, it's interesting that the taxes start right away. For example, a 2.3% tax on medical devices to help pay for it is going to be devastating.
Well, it'd be devastating for some of those businesses. Most of the people who will be affected by taxes are above the $250,000 income level, though.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. That's one of the biggest fantasies that has been repeated, and I just can't believe people continue to say that. The tax on medical devices could impact. The discretion of the secretary is allowed, but the taxes on medical devices go down to Class 1 items that you could find in your local CVS. So it's going to affect everyone. The so-called Cadillac tax on health plans, the people are going to be hit by hardest the most, hit the hardest are New Jersey teachers. If they happen to have health plans via their unions that are $25,000, $30,000, and we have a teacher in Hoboken making $45,000 a year who suddenly gets an $1,800 tax bill in the mail, they're not going to vote Democrat anymore. There's a tolerance that people have, and I think they're going to find out very quickly how bad this bill is.
Well, the test really will come in November. Is it possible that test will be the question of doing nothing versus doing something and that voters will vote that way?
Well, yes. I mean, I think most people, the polls you cited just a moment ago, I'm not really sure where those came from, because everyone I've seen shows that people are very opposed to this. And the intensity is very much on the side of people who oppose it, not on the people who support it.
All right. If we were to fill in the blank, this is a bad day for America then.
I think it's a very, very expensive day for America.
All right, we'll leave it there. Jim Frobe, Vice President at the Center for Health Transformation, Newt Gingrich's Health Policy Group, reacting to healthcare reform over the weekend.